Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Central Stadium, an iconic sporting venue. As part of a major fundraising drive, My Stadium Seat is offering you the chance to place your name or the name of someone who loves GAA on a seat at the Field of Legends. Packages from €100 include seat naming plaques, certs of authenticity, online biographies, and open day tickets. Show your support. Visit mystadiumseat.com. Central Stadium, where every name matters.
Welcome to the Premier Review podcast episode 90. Today I'm your host Kevin Ryan from St. Mary's, joined by a host of our regular contributors, but also two representatives from the intermediate final, which takes place at Semple Stadium on Sunday, Shane Brophy from Lara Dara and Dara Hayes from Moneygall. Lara come into this one as red hot favourites after a resounding win over Drummond Inch. Shane, come to you first. I suppose Lara have seen a few up and downs over the last few years, and just want to set out how Lara come into this game.
Yeah, sure. Look, it's I suppose you think of it, 2 years ago we were in Semple Stadium getting ready for a Premier Intermediate final or an Orient Cup, as it was a call back then. And I suppose to think the aim after losing to Mullinahone was to try and get back there as quick as possible. But little do we know that we fell through the trapdoor last year. And I suppose then you're coming into this year and you're looking to try and get to another final in Intermediate, and thankfully we're one step away from the aim of getting back to Premier Intermediate. But it's going to be a stiff test on Sunday. Like we know what Moneygall are going to bring. We know it's they won't be related to the team that we beat in the North semi final about 3.5 months ago. So. I know. Look, it was a great occasion for both clubs to get down there to Semple Stadium, and in with the senior replay, it should be a fabulous occasion.
Dara, Dara, you're from Moneygall. Do you want to just talk to the listeners, I suppose, about where Moneygall have come from? I know you lost the close enough semi-final to Kilsheen last year, maybe didn't quite perform on the day, and I think it was a bit of a monsoon weather, but this year you've looked solid all year, bar maybe that defeat to Laura in the North Final.
Yeah, sure. Look, I suppose it goes without saying that evening in Roscrea we came out. I mean, we were dejected, I guess. The hurlers, the lads over the team, fans or people at the match. You know, it's just after having such a good year last year, this year was all about building on that. And like that evening coming out, that wasn't going to be the case. And we were probably missing a few. Like Laura, we're coming back from a level above. I suppose we had it all to do in the first place. And then they just blitzed us. It was bang, bang, bang. And we got ourselves together and we got a few scores. And it was just, you could see the Gulf in class from where Laura were coming from again. Last year, I mean, they were, at the time, they were probably unlucky to be relegated. They were relegated. They're back. That's the level, I guess, that they were at now. And the Gulf was there. And the last few league games we had hurled too, I remember we played Burgess down here in the field and we got well beaten. We played the Mines, I think, got beaten as well. So that was sort of two Premier Intermediate teams, we call them, or senior teams as they're called still. Laura, who...
They're called senior teams down south anyway.
Yeah, and Laura, who had just come back. So we sort of had three games in the bounce there where, you know, we were well held. And now, in fairness, we were trying lads in the league. And look, at the end of the day, our league campaign was probably successful enough. They'd been happy enough. And that's what probably made that evening in Rathcrea all the more hard to take because, as I said, we were blitzed. We were looking around. You know, it was, you could literally take nothing from it except Laura are probably a better team than us. That's what you could take. Like, the bet is, I think, 20 or 21 points or something like that. But here it is now, as Shane said, 3.5 months later, we're still here. We've probably achieved the goal of building on last year. You know, at the end of the day, we lost the county semi-final last year to Kilsheen and Kilcash. Maybe we underperformed, I don't know. We beat them this year. I mean, we were all out to beat them. We literally, we dogged them. Last year, I think they dogged us, but we hassled, we harried. Like, we've been fierce and lucky with injuries as well. Again, the boys have been blood and young lads, and a good young lad sort of had his first championship start last week, and he was gone off. After 10 minutes, the two of them actually had the same injury week after week, game after game. So he's gone now. We're low on bodies. But there's enough of lads there. I mean, there is a good big panel, in fairness. Great young lads coming through. They live and die for the club. There's a great old atmosphere with them. You know, so it is enjoyable as a spectator. Maybe not so much 10 minutes to go last week, but we got
Wouldn't you take it, you know, you wouldn't swap your place for the world. The underdogs tag, as you said, you got your bit of revenge this year against Kilsheen, so maybe you'll be able to learn from that beating in the summer. Shane, how does the favourites tag sit with Laura? It's something you've had to deal with all year. Maybe we're caught a bit cold against Barca Cane in the quarter final, but certainly learned against Drummond Inch. So how do you think he'll approach Sunday?
It's something that was given to us by a lot of people. I suppose when you come down from the higher grade, you're immediately seen as one of the favourites. We got off to a great start, beating with Moneygall, and then winning the North Final against Shannon Rovers, and beat the Davins in the first round, and then Golden. As well. Look, what we always knew, I suppose. Nobody goes through a campaign winning games comfortably. There was always going to be a bump in the road, and it came against Boherlahan as well. We were probably down a body or two that day. The same day we had to play the North Junior B final, and we were sort of managing both squads. There was a couple of guys in the juniors that we were probably going to call up to the intermediates. So we were holding them back as long as we could we get the juniors to win something. Unfortunately, they lost in the North final after extra time, and after that we've brought in four up since then. I think two of them were used against Bursa Cane. I think maybe I think the 5 week gap between the Boherlahan match and the Bursa Cane match certainly didn't help at all. Like, it was very, very long between that, the playoff, and then I suppose the delay with Golden, and I think there's a Kilsheen and it had football commitments. So that was as frustrating. Just lads were edgy, and I think we sort of played edgy a small bit against Bursa Cane. We weren't sharp, and look, we always knew that's a local derby. Dara and the Moneygall lads know Bursa Cane. Like, it's anything with a local derby, it has danger written all over it. Like, we played well enough in the day, but like, we got Bursa Cane played really well, and look, I thought an injury time when we went a pint down, we were in serious trouble because they had all the momentum, but we managed to pull it into extra time. And in fairness to the lads, their fitness levels and their resolve were excellent. And I thought we played arguably our best hurling of that match in extra time. We managed to get control back a small bit and got through. And I suppose, as I think as Ken said afterwards, after the Drummond Inch match, I think he was talking to some reporters. He was saying that was it was a scare that sort of frightened the life out of everyone in the group. Like, it was not that we took anything for granted. It's just, you just don't know sometimes when maybe a small bit of softness creeps in, and maybe it did. And look, I just sensed, I knew it from the warm-up last Sunday against Drum. I said, we were not going to be beaten here. And
just to pick up one night, you mentioned about Ken Hogan chatting to reporters after, and I don't think there's many intermediates would kind of spend most of their post matches doing a lot of media commitments. Dean also benefited, I think, and you mentioned the Orion kind of run against Mulnahone with John McIntyre over.
Yeah.
How important do you think kind of having, you know, kind of homegrown managers with good reputations, particularly Ken Hogan, now this year come back into the club and make an impact?
Sure. Look, it's not a negative in any way. Like, I do think there's sort of a trend now coming back towards having a homegrown man, maybe having an outside coach, but definitely having a homegrown man up top. Because I suppose, look, I think every club has its own culture, and I suppose you need a personality who knows what makes certain group of players tick. I'm sure lads in an urban areas need to be maybe. Players in urban teams need to be dealt with differently than maybe lads in rural clubs. You have the carrot and the stick approach. And look, in fairness, John did fabulous work in 2020. Look, we came within a couple of pucks of a ball of being a senior club that day. Like, I think we didn't hurl badly against Mull. I thought we actually hurled pretty well that day against Mulnahone. We met Mulnahone, who played their best game in the year in that final against us. And look, last year, We just hit a bad patch. Look, we just got a rotten run of injuries last year. Like, Bonner Maher went out before we even started. You had a couple of guys, I think it was a game against Cashel where we lost three or four guys in that game. And then we were sort of swimming against the tide a small bit. Look, it's like anything. Winning becomes a habit, and then last year losing became a habit, and now we're back on the winning run again, and we just hope there's one more win in us to get on Sunday. And
hopefully it'll be next year.
I think Shane's maybe, you know, with your kind of Brian Hogan's, and he's also managed Bonner Maher there as well. Is there anyone, I suppose, for the layperson coming into the stadium early to keep an eye on from Moneygall? I suppose Sean Kennelly would be your most, I suppose, kind of noteworthy forward. I suppose has done a lot of scoring for me.
It's Joe Fogarty, a simple leader. Just look, I mean, we're strong. We've a super goalie. Like, I mean, he's not an all-star like some lads on the field, but he's a super, super goalkeeper. He's never let us down. Shot stopping to puck outs. I mean, he really is, you know, I mean, he really is a really, really good goalkeeper. And I'm championing the chap since he was a child, you know, because he's been a brilliant, you probably heard out the field when he was very young. But from minor on, he's a super, super goalkeeper. He's kept us in matches maybe that we shouldn't have been in. Up along the field, Cahill Green there, really, really, really good cornerback. You know, you could depend your life on him. You know what you get with him. Half back, and we've Roddy Teehan, who again, a dependable. Like, I'm not saying obviously you could depend on them all, but these are the fellas that I guess you just looked at. Roddy Teehan is a good hurler. Who else have we? You know, I mean, to start naming lads, I suppose, it put me on the spot. But these are fellas, I suppose, Joe and Sean Kennelly are the two that everybody, you know, that they had a bit of experience with Tip underage, and they're the two that everybody knows about. But I mean, you could depend on any of them, in fairness. We have a very, very young team, with a blend of a few older lads started to keep the ship steady. Brendan too, he's another fella there. Like, he's a pure warrior. He's there since he was seven, when we were senior 17. He's hurling since he was 17 or 18. Never let us down. You know, so, I mean, as I said, to go naming fellas, who's the most exciting? Joe Fogarty, because you'd stand up to watch him hurl. Like, he's just a magician.
Perfect stuff. Stephen, I'll leave the last word with you on this game, having seen Laura up close this year, but don't have familiar with Moneygall. How would you see this game going on Sunday?
Well, unfortunately, I was very familiar with Moneygall last year when they buried in, I think it was 3 goals in the first 10 minutes. But goals were a major issue for us in both games. And look, we've been talking about this grade now all year, and Moneygall and Laura were the two teams we were talking about most, and with Laura, obviously, I think, and deserving favourites. I'll go back to the goals. I think in the slower conditions now that we're going to have on this Sunday, goals could be a huge factor, and both teams are excellent at it. And you know what? As I said, we're on the receiving end, but what impressed me most was going for the juggler. When it was on, they went for it, like, you know. And I this now has I'm very excited for this game now at the weekend. And you know, goals, I think, will change this course of the game. I know there was a heavy defeat for Moneygall at the start of the year, but for both clubs, that was months ago. Two different teams taking the field now this weekend, and I think we should have a really close game, really competitive game.
Definitely, I think the form of the divisions really hasn't kind of worked out, or it hasn't held true for much of the latter championship, with a few kind of games or a few results being reversed. What you say there about the goals is true. I suppose we'll talk about it more later, but I suppose the goal that Ross Gray got against Gartnahoo, who've been scoring for fun all year, was probably crucial in their win, gave him a bit of a cushion there last Sunday. So, you know, this week it could be true. Dara, Shane, I'm not going to ask you to call this game, but I'd hope anyway that you'd both go for your own teams. But thanks for that. Thanks for a great preview there, lads, and best of luck on Sunday.
Thanks, William. Best luck, Shane.
Cheers, lads. Best of luck.
Thanks to Shane and Dara for that preview. Now I'm joined by regular Stephen Cronin from Carrick Davins and Jamie Barrett from Turles Sarsfields. We're going to now review the senior, or the Dan Breen and the senior B, from last Sunday. So Jamie, I'm going to come to you first. Some of the commentators on the game on Sunday were saying, oh, the first half was a bit lackluster and it only kind of got to life in the last 15 minutes. I really enjoyed it. What was a great tussle between, you know, Kildangan and Kilroyan. What do you make of it?
Yeah, same. I really enjoyed it as well. I have to say, I was with a group of Thurles/Boris Lee natives, and we were kind of cheering for the underdog being Kilroyan. Kind of felt Kilroyan had left it behind him a little bit at half time. Did a goal and 3 or 4 points that they probably should have scored, but could have come back to haunt them, but thankfully didn't in the end. But I enjoyed the game. It's always cagey. Like, I mean, Kilroyan is 37 years since they'd won it, you know, 85, when they went on to win the All-Ireland. Like, so there was huge pressure. Kilinangan, then, I suppose, you're playing your near neighbours. You're going to be a bit cagey as well. And lads, some big players didn't get into the game. So there was no real major spark, or there was no, you know, I know Jerry Cal got a goal in the first half, but, you know, Kilinangan didn't have a whole pile to shout about in the first half. So I suppose the crowd were slow to get going. That's, you know, the excitement in the game wasn't there.
It was like they brought their form from earlier in the year, that first half, wasn't it? So it was just looked like they could break out at any time, but were just a bit under the weather, or under par, I thought.
Yeah, they looked dangerous. I mean, there's a couple of times they broke heading for the goals, couldn't get a shot away, or might have clipped a point or a wide, but they didn't look like they were going to score goals in the first half, and the goal they got was fortuitous enough, I thought. You know, it was a good rob. Paul Flynn buried it then once he got into his hand. But, like, they were better in the first half, Kilinangan, but they were still behind at half time and probably should have been more behind. They were 4 down, could have easily been 7, 8, 9 down, you know, as well as they played.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think when Kilinangan look back in that game, if they were a bit more clinical in that first half to give them a cushion, they could have been a lot more ahead. Stephen, I suppose, from Kilinangan's perspective, you know, first final in a long time, 37 years or whatever, since the last won it. I suppose their main priority would have been not to freeze on the big stage, which they didn't. But do you think they could have drove on a bit more in that first half? Or who do you think stood out for you in that?
Yeah, I think, don't know, like, I'm a huge believer in tradition. You know, those boys may never experienced it, but their club have. And I think that stands to a club on the day of things. And I don't believe for a second they froze. they were probably a little bit unsettled in the first half. I think after 15 minutes, Seamus Hennessy went off. It looked more tactical than before. You know, he came back on later on in the game. But also, is it O'Kelly? The young Keane O'Kelly Keane went
Kelly.
Off.
Keane O'Kelly, yeah.
And he was excellent. Yeah. Now, his shooting boots probably could have been better. But he started the game off with a lovely underhand hand pass, and I thought, geez, this lad could be on it here today. He terrorised Kildangan in the air, and more often than not that they were getting change from it. He went off, I think it was late in the first half. Yeah. It seemed to unsettle him a little bit. You know, when there's men like them going off, then Jerome Carr can get more the more focus can be put on one player. And he was, you know, in fairness to him, he was excellent at the weekend. But you have Seamus Hennessy gone off at the forward line. You have O'Kelly gone off at the forward line. They can concentrate a little bit. If that means stepping a couple of yards off their own men to cut out the space, I think it probably was the reason why they didn't really kick on in the first half when they were clearly the better team. You know, and that, you know, they're going again the next day. They could easily feel aggrieved by the score that wasn't a score. And
do you think they would have got that last free though, if you know that score, you know, what's
the game? See, the game was, first of all, I thought it was a brilliant game. I know, I think the crowd adds to the excitement, and I think the crowd was more lackluster than the actual game. I really enjoyed the game. And I think then as tensions rose in the second half, the crowd was brilliant, you know. And would they have got that free at the end? It was probably a little bit soft, but then that brings into focus.
I thought there was a free there to be given.
I thought it was a free there to be given. Yeah, I thought it was an easy decision for Kevin.
Yeah, exactly.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you give the referee an easy decision, you can't give out about it, you know. And
Kildrowan cornerback would be the happiest man, I'd say, on Sunday night, because, geez, that last free that he gave away was unforgivable almost, you know, to nearly hand it to Kildangan. Yeah.
He was one of their strongest players, I thought. I thought he heard very well. But I think what didn't work in Kilrone's favour, as Stephen said, was when Keane O'Kelly went off and Seamus Hennessy was off at the same time, Jerry Kyle had to come out from the inside line to come out and try and win ball to his in to lesser players, and no offence to them, but you wanted Seamus Hennessy or somebody else hitting ball in towards Jerry Cahill. Like, when he went back into the inside line with 15 minutes to go, he looked dangerous. He got his goal out of that when he held off Alan Flynn and turned. He was only going in one direction. But he needed to be getting the ball nearer to goals to have more of an impact on the game. I don't know about the starting Seamus Hennessy bringing him on, or using up subs. Maybe the strength isn't there on the bench, if that's the case, fair enough. But I think a player like Fez, you need him on the field as much as possible. Whether that means he doesn't start the first 20 and he comes on and plays the next 40. But you need to have his impact and his drive and his deliveries going into Jerry Cahill. You know what I mean? Yeah. Jerry is so good. Like, he needs the ball as much as possible.
His presence alone dictates close attention. You know, just being on the field, you're like, we have to mark this. Like, we cannot let him dictate the game. We cannot let him get ball in hand.
No.
You know, so you have a lot of focus then going into one match. But when he went off, like, that's, he's not only a huge presence on the field and a worry for Kildangan, he's a leader for his own field. Now, I think hindsight could have, you know, at the time I didn't know, I thought, geez, maybe he's not up to the pace again. But it, then when you see him get warmed up and taken off the vest and he was ready to come back on, you're thinking, is this a tactical thing? You know, it was strange. It was like Peter Canavan-esque, you know, and it was like, you know, I had to push. When he did come back on, it pushed Jerome back inside. And as you said, he got that goal brilliantly. But you wonder, would they regret not keeping him on there, leaving Cal closer to goal for longer parts of the game? I think when he went out the field, brilliant hurler, he can play anywhere. But they took away that threat that wasn't there then, you know, that he was a constant.
Maybe Karan, keep overthinking it.
Yeah, to look,
yeah, I thought because even the sharp puckouts were killer. Like, they were giving the ball short, and they were allowing Kildangan an easy exit, to use the rugby parlance, an easy exit up the field, creating an overlap instead of forcing Barry Hogan down on top of where Seamus Hennessy and Niall O'Mara, two strong men in the air, were. They should have forced him long and trying to win primary possession back there instead of trying to win it in a dogfight in the middle of the field. He was getting nice little handy puckouts, and they were bypassing midfield and probably bypassing Hennessy into the inside line into Paul Flynn. And I think when they were a point down with 4 or 5 minutes to go, or 10 minutes to go, whatever it was, they should have pushed up on the puck out and forced Kildangan along, because they didn't want to go along. They wanted to go short. So he was happy to go short, you know, and they did overthink it a little bit, you know, but look, that'll happen as well.
Absolutely. Do you think, just to throw this out to Boaty there, Kildangan, maybe some of the marquee names didn't quite perform? I think it looked Billy Seymour kind of taken off in the first half. Just looking down here along, Willie Connors kind of probably did a nice bit all right. Joe Gallagher, Sean Hayes, Paul Flynn might have been a bit quiet.
Yeah, Paul Flynn got 1-4 from playing, was fouled for a few frees, to be fair.
He wasn't quiet, so that's
Billy Seymour was poor, though. No, you're okay. Billy Seymour was poor. You'll remember back to the Lean Cas under-21 All-Ireland, he was being touted as the next best thing. But look, guys can have off days as well, you know. Sean Hayes, yeah, he was in and out of the game, but like Paul Flynn, any chance he got, he more or less took, or he was fouled for a free, you know. But yeah, they'd be disappointed in Billy Seymour, because he would have carried a big goal threat as well, you know.
There's a fascinating one now with Niall O'Mara and Paul Flynn in the first half. It might necessarily been seen on TV because Niall was exceptional going forward on the ball. But it looked the tactic that, you know, he was going to play a free half back, and it allowed Paul on a lot of ball, and he did a lot of damage. And
yeah,
it did as great as it was going forward, and it caused untold damage to Kildangan. It nearly cost him the game as well. If you're Willie Connors, I watched Willie Connors run towards the end of the game for probably the greatest could be the greatest foul ever in the county final. Willie Connors made that run for the breaking ball, and Niall didn't follow him. He just, you know, he kind of just left him off. Now, if Willie Connors' hurley wasn't pulled that time, you'd like to think it was a certain goal. That, for me, is game over. Because in the second half, there was a couple of times when Kildangan went through the gears, and they looked really, really good, you know. And
Stephen, do you think that foul was a red card? I see Westside kind of flagging that there should have been more dependence on
I'm not going to go down the Joe Brawley route the way he lambasted Sean Cameron that time.
He's not a man. But he's not a man.
If you're a killer Rowan man, you're buying that lad a drink if he get over the line at the result. But if you're Kildangan, you are absolutely fuming, because like them kind of opportunities are scarce in the game, and it you could do nothing else. There was nothing else that back could do. And now, as a back, I would tell him. I asked in the group, them kind of things probably have to come in. As in the county where professional felt like that has to be a penalty, because that there now, it could be the winning of the game for Kilroan, but I felt like that shouldn't determine whether you win or lose. You know, like it's so blatant, and and desperate. Yeah, like it's last ditch.
Not every club player in the country would have done it as long as you're not
absolutely.
On a
yellow card. But there's no reward for Kildangan. There was no reward for Kildangan. Yeah. Like, I know they tapped it over the bar, and you know, like, but for me anyway, I'd like to give the advantage to the forward there and say, and you'd be expecting Willie Connors to bury that, you know. And look, Kildangan, they don't care what the repercussions are now, but it probably is something needs to be looked at, you know, at club level especially. Like, it's sensational foul, don't get me wrong. I encourage every single person to do it until until the laws change, but yeah, you know, so it could be.
I suppose to kind of wrap up before we leave this, you know, it's a review but it's also a preview with the replay now next weekend in Semple again. Jamie, who would you give the advantage to this time around? They say that, you know, the underdogs only get one chance, so that,
yeah, but
did Kildare, is that their chance gone?
Possibly, but on the other side, Kildare, any nerves that those players would have had, no matter what kind of games they've played in, all those nerves are gone now. You've already played your county final, so you know what it's like, you know what the build up is like, you know what all the I suppose all the what I don't know, everything that goes on around the county final, you know, different timings and have to get photographs and all this kind of shit and parades and all that stuff is done now. You've been through it all, it's nothing new. It makes it a little bit easier in a way. Kildangan, they'll be disappointed not to have won that again, but I think the pressure is on Kildangan, but I also think they're still slight favourites. I think they just have probably a better 20 players than Kildare won. So I would fancy Kildangan to win. I would like Kildare to win. I would fancy Kildangan to win.
Yeah, Stephen, would you diverge from that view?
I think where Kildare will be very confident is they created all the chances. They should have been further ahead in the first half going into the second half. So I think they'll be very confident with that. Whereas they dealt with, for a large part of the game, they dealt with Kildangan attack. Now, saying that, when Kildangan went through the gears, I think in the second half, they looked really dangerous. And if they can hit that top gear early in the game, you know, you'd be thinking they'd be far more confident. Where I'm not 100% convinced is, which might be an advantage to Kildare, is you see, I don't mean how easy Jerome Carr got the better of Alan Flynn for the last goal, but for me, I always see Alan Flynn as a midfielder that ties the backs and the forwards, you know. And is he the physical dominating centre back presence, you know, that your typical centre back is? I don't know, and I think that's maybe a little bit where they could make hay, because I think Alan Flynn, being an attacker and a defender, is more valuable to Kildangan than Alan Flynn as just a centre back. But you know, like, I'd like to see Kildangan do it. I'd be interested to see Kildangan at full flight though. So I'm kind of on the fence, but I'm gonna give the nod to Kildangan.
Pity you weren't on the fence last week. We could have made a few quid off the draw, but. no, I think it's going to be another tight one again. There's no really point to kind of, who cares, I suppose, what we think. It's nearly going to just be another cracker. There was also good fare, I think, in Semple early on in the day with Ross Craig going back to Senior A. I suppose, I'm not sure what it was in the end. It was a 4 or 5 points, but they led by 6 at halftime, which was a nice cushion. Garton, who probably didn't get the goals, they were getting all the years alluded to earlier that kind of really impacted them. Missed a couple of chances due to great saves from the Ross Craig keeper, Darragh Ryan, was it? Thoughts on this one, Stephen?
Yeah, I thought it was excellent game of hurling. Ross Craig deserved winners, but they almost, like, they left Gorton Hall within touching distance, you know, and it, credit to Gorton Hall, it was just constant fighting, battling, working your socks off. You know, if ever there was an example of a team just not giving up and just stay working, stay doing the basics, it was last week. And I think early in the game it looked like Roscrea did look the better team. They looked a little bit more composed on the ball, and when they moved it through the lines, they you know, they had that bit of class. Gordon Ho, speed all over the place. And we spoke about this last week, that if they could avoid, or if Roscrea could stop them scoring the goals, you know, it'd be a huge dent to Gordon Ho's chances. And their keeper, for me, the hero on the day, you know, Gordon Ho were on top. They had momentum. They had, you know, their tails were up, 2-1 goal, and just a top class save stopped that game from going level. You know, anything could have happened. I think Roscrea obviously deserved winners, like, but it was a humdinger of a game, and a real game of grit and determination.
Sliding door moment, I think, because you know, like, Gordon Ho were coming at that stage, and you know, they just did, you know, they've been getting the goals all year. I think they average in at least two in every game, and three in some games. But you know, just on the big day in Semple, the look probably deserted them a little bit. They missed one in the first half as well. You know, like, they're hitting savage scores. But again, you have to balance that against Roscrea, who are by far the best team that they play this year. I would like to see, you know, is I'd like to see Ross, you know, Temple Derry won a relegation final, who won the Orion last year. They won the relegation final this year against Aeroge. I'd love to see kind of Ross Gray, you know, it's an unforgiving environment up Dan Breen, but I'd love them to see kind of do well for a couple of years at least, because I think it would give a bit of validity to the standard of the Orion Premier Intermediate. What I don't want to see is the same teams kind of starting to yo-yo up and down, like, you know. If you take in Aeroge, I don't think they're, with all due respect, they've been kind of at the, it's not like they did a lot on it, saying we're kind of going from really competing for Dan Breen into...
I get you. I perfectly understand what you're saying, because if Roscrea can go up and you know, get comfortable up there, spend a few years up there, it'll give confidence to all the other teams that, you know what, if we can win a county final, we're good enough to be there, and we'll, you know, doing the right things in training, we'll stay there, you know. That's how we felt back in 2009, that to win a county final means you're good enough to, obviously you're good enough to go up, but you do the right things and you'll stay up there and you'll be competitive. And I think Roscrea will be. I think where I thought they were excellent, and I love stripping hurling back to the basics, is they were brilliant in the air. You know, their touch was excellent. You know, the feel and the touch coming onto a ball. The couple of forwards there, I think Cashin there, centre forward, he was everywhere, zipping around. Where I do think they probably have something they'll have to look at, maybe not a big issue, like, but probably get that just a little bit physical, a little bit more bulk, you know, get stronger as a team. Like, you see Alan Tynan, he's, you know, great physique, like, he's a senior hurler, and when he's going through the gears, you know, he's a senior hurler. And I think a few more over the winter now will be in the gym, and, you know, I think when they can feel, they have the hurling to compete with anyone.
They have the hurling to compete with anyone. Absolutely. You know, they are doing an under-19 semi-final this weekend against St. Mary's as well. So they're definitely, you know, have a solid base to be building on for that, you know. And that'll be, I think, another close game on Saturday in the rag between Mary's and Roscrea. Like, you know, it's sometimes a club like that on the roll are hard. It's hard to stop, but you know, certainly. But look, what I would say to Gordon Ho is, I think they've been on an upward trend themselves for the last number of years, you know, and I think that they'll be thereabouts competing for the Orion over the next kind of couple of years or so to kind of keep improving. You know, I don't think they were outclassed by any manner of means. Just before we leave the kind of the game review, Upper Church are up in intermediate ranks now next week, or next year, should I say, egging out Grange Mauchline, and what was a kind of ding dong battle. They seem to just got a late goal to seal it. Late on, I suppose it's another trend, I suppose, for a senior club second team to be rising up the ranks there. Grange Mauchline again always seems to be the bridesmaids, don't they, in the south, Stephen?
Yeah, it is a tough day out for them. Just to go back to your point with Upper Church and the B team, when the club is in a positive moment, like, you know, when the first team is going well and, you know, all the lads are training together, it usually results in the second team going well as well. And, you know, unfortunately, James Barry had his illness. But when you have James Barry on your team, like, you know, Jesus Christ, like at junior A level, you've James, you're going onto the field with James Barry. You know you're on the front foot straight off the bat. Like the talent and experience that man will bring to that grade, and now when he moves up the ranks again next year, like it was proved invaluable for Upper Church at the weekend.
Yeah, no, after I suppose coming close in the Dan Breen and the, I suppose not so close in the football, but getting there. You know, they definitely deserve a county title. So, you know, fair play to them and congrats. Yeah, and I suppose, look, it's probably the most competitive championship we have in many ways, the South Junior A. So hopefully there won't be too many more teams going into it. I think that's maybe 14 and next year again or something like that. So, you know, it's I suppose, one of the few actual competitive championships we have as well. I suppose the final thing we'll say before we wrap up for Stephen, is no more Sky now, no more having to go to the pub for a few games on a Saturday evening or whatnot, if that was your thing. Looks like GA are kind of going to try and make more of their own GA Go channel, and I suppose give RTE a bit more and TG Cahir a bit more of the rights there. So thoughts on that?
It is a strange one. Like you're reading reports today, like, you know, viewing figures in England, not great, but it's still broadcasting, and was it an extra 14 games? You know, more of an opportunity for, like, even more of a spread of games, more of an opportunity to see your own county playing. I think it's a bad move, and no common ground to be made. Just it is very, very strange, and I don't think it's a good thing for the GAA. I don't think so. Like, there's lads giving out there, oh, I can't pay for Sky, but won't you have to pay for GAA Go?
Yeah, exactly.
It's as much.
The cost of these things are only going up, isn't it?
Yeah. So yeah. You know. No, like if the GAA announced the termination of the partnership with Sky, but said there's going to be another 10 games on RTE, or, you know, 10 championship matches on RTE. I know TG Cahir do a fantastic job at the league. You know, maybe they should have been given the. I don't know how the whole thing works, but if you had an extra 10 games going to TG. You know, it's often to blow a small bit, but it's I don't think good outcome at all.
Definitely. But sure, look, on that note, we'll leave it at that. Best of luck to all the team taking the field this weekend. A lot of county finals on, a lot of county semi finals on. So, best of luck. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks, Stephen. Thanks, Jamie.
Thanks.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.